Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There are multiple parts in the story of Christ that Christianity just loves to focus on and that have been immortalized by paintings, by poetry, and of course, by Hollywood itself. We love to remember the stories of Jesus' great miracles. I mean, we even have, right in the beginning of Mark, some of the most wonderful miracles that Jesus performs. Casting out of demons, healing the sick. And I'm pretty sure that each and every one of you can remember a time back in your Sunday school days where you heard a story about a great miracle of Christ. Whether it be healing a man who was lame from birth, who could not walk, and his friends had to pull him down from the roof of a house. And then Jesus laid his hands on him, forgave him of his sins, and made him walk again. We remember the great story of how he drove out a demon from a man who had thousands of demons in him, put him into a herd of pigs, so those pigs flew off of a cliff into the sea below, and a great healing happened then. We as Christians have these stories in abundance with us that we always remember and keep with us as time has gone on. And like I said, many of us know these stories through the multiple movies that we've seen about this, or through some paintings. Though I don't think you want to see a painting of an exorcism. It's kind of gruesome. Really weird, if you ask me. And often, pastors love to preach on these great healings. In fact, we get to hear of one of them today. Maybe a little bit more sparsely, because once again, we're in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark keeps things moving. In fact, it keeps it moving from last week. Our story in Mark actually today takes place immediately following the great healing last week of the man with a demon in the synagogue. Immediately after this, Jesus goes out and goes to his disciples, Simon Peter's mother-in-law's home. Yes, Peter had a wife. Kind of weird to believe, but yes, the disciples were ordinary men with ordinary families. And this disciple had a wife, and her mother was sick. They don't really spend much time about talking about that in Mark, because once again, Mark is immediate. We want to see Jesus doing something, the action gospel. So Jesus goes to the Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. That's a mouthful. Goes in. She sees she has a fever. Brings her out of the bed, healing her. And immediately, she begins to serve the disciples and Jesus. There is healing and an immediate response to serve and follow Christ. It's amazing. And then afterward, we read that people were coming all over and that Jesus was healing a great many people. It's wonderful to see this. The kingdom of God that Mark said in the beginning, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the kingdom of God at work. Demons and evil flee before it. Those who are in need, in desperate need of God's healing, are binded up and wonderfully healed. To those who are at that time, it is as if the very words of the prophets were coming alive in their time. As if the very words of those psalms, the songs they've been singing for generation after generation, are coming alive in their eyes. Great is our Lord. And abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. These are the songs they would sing. And now in their very midst, there is Christ. Healing, binding, casting out evil. And it's a wonderful sight. But after this, Jesus needs some rest. Pretty sure we all could use a little bit of rest from when we do a lot of hard work, and Jesus did a lot of work, and so he goes out early in the morning to pray. Simon Peter, the man whose mother-in-law he healed, goes up to Jesus and says, "Well, everyone's looking for you." And Jesus kind of says, "I know. But let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's go to another town. That I might preach, that I might teach. That is what I came to do, after all." And so they go. And the Mark records that Jesus did many miraculous, wonderful signs and sights and healings. It's wonderful. There's great comfort in this. For we know that this is a God who actually does something. He doesn't sit up in a high and lofty throne looking down far away from humanity, but gets into the stuff of humanity, really touches people who are sick, really touches those who are unclean and isolated, and brings them back into God's great love, mercy. When we read these stories, when we remember them from our youth and even remember them today, there can be great comfort in them. Reminders that our God is one who heals, who is not far off. And yet, these stories can be misused. They can be forgotten. Or they could be seen as not real, or inconsequential, or not applicable to me. We know of this great faith that we have in Christ, but when we think about the healing that Christ has performed, it's hard to kind of put it in today's terms. Recently, about maybe a couple months ago, Pastor Vern sent out a wonderful documentary that was on Netflix, and fortunately it's not on Netflix anymore. I forgot what the name was. Maybe Pastor Vern can remind me of it. I'm trying to remember it now, but that's what happens. If I remember it, I'll make sure to share it later this week. But it was talking about the greater faith movement in America, about how the greater church in America for the longest time, what has been normally produced in America of Christianity is actually not Christianity at all. It is a Christless Christianity. One of the biggest things that we can see, though, is hear about, even if you don't even need this documentary to talk about it, is the thing about faith healers. Those who spout Christianity on TV, who get in these large auditoriums, put their hands on people, and by faith alone heal them of their diseases. People are awed and amazed. But if you actually talk to many people who go to these events, they're the sick and the broken in the back, not being healed, who are in need of something, who have cancer that has overtaken their bodies, who are lame and cannot walk, who cannot do anything but even breathe alone. And they are sat there in the back, dying. As people who tout their Christianity say, by faith be healed, just like Christ did of old, and it's not true. And when that is produced and is sent out into the world, what does the world look at Christianity but a bunch of charlatans? That God is a God of healing? Well, he doesn't care about these people in the back. If this man really had the power to heal, why isn't he going out and doing this? And suddenly so many people will see that their lives are not being healed, that they were promised something and given nothing. And healing is far away. And they think God is far away. And so they turn their back on it. Could be even something more simple. Earlier this week, my wife and I, after Daniel was being put to bed, were talking with a group of friends that we've made during this pandemic year and a half almost. Now, they come from all walks of life. One of them is a former Marine. One of them is a woman trying to make her way in life and just the craziness that is the world. And another is a man who was burned by the church. Now, they all know that I'm a pastor. They all understand my beliefs and have been with us throughout Daniel's story of him being born, of him having his very serious heart condition where he has literally half a heart working. And they've been seen all throughout this wonderful journey of how our son is now thriving and living and having a wonderful life. If you even go to the YouTube page that was said in the beginning of the service, you can actually even see him growing and smiling and laughing as I try to attempt to do Bible studies while holding a 9-month-old. It's a lot harder than you think. But I remember talking with this man, this one burned by the church. Who knows of Daniel's situation, of our situation? And he looked, I can only assume looked, at us and said, "Why? Why do you have faith in a God like that? Yeah, you have the stories that Christ healed people, that your God healed people. What about you? You prayed for your son to be healed, and God was silent. You prayed that God would take this away, and he didn't. You prayed that you wouldn't need these surgeries, and he's had two. You prayed that God would do this miraculous healing, and he was dead silent. If I were you, I wouldn't believe in a God like that. You should just curse God. Condemn him for what he has done to you. Because that's not a loving God who would give you this burden. This isn't a loving God who would need all these people in the world sick, who would make this pandemic go on longer than it needs to. This isn't a God of healing. This is a God who just sits there and laughs at you as you are just sitting around in your hopelessness. Why do you trust in a God like that?" That hit me and my wife. It was hard. Because, yeah, that's the world we live in. There's diseases running rampant. Conditions that even though by the grace of God my son has lived, he will live with the rest of his life. And even those who are not as lucky as my son, many who have died from the same condition that he has. It's hard. Because when we look around in the world and see from an outsider's eyes, yeah, the stuff that we say here on a Sunday morning, these stories about God's miraculous healing, about being with his people in the midst of their problems, that does seem far-fetched and so odd. How can we love a God who seems to not care about today's world? How can we understand a God who would let people in our lives suffer? How can we love a God who actually just looks at us and seemingly says, "Yeah, maybe next time"? It's hard. I wrestled with that. I wrestled with that every single day of my life. I was remembering going on walks and runs across my neighborhood, begging, pleading, tears in my eyes, and I'm trying to catch my breath, saying, "God, heal my son." And he didn't. Was born with the condition, had two open heart surgeries at 1 week of life and at 6 months of life. And it can seem that God is far off. But there's something that we have. It's our faith. And something that cannot be described by logical means. After this man was sitting there, done speaking to my wife and I, my wife turned and said to him, once again, all on virtual, so can't really see his face, that yeah, it's tough. But our God is with us. We have our faith that he hears us. A faith that we can't explain. A faith that was given to us by him who died for us. For our God loved us so much that, yeah, he came down. God himself came down to us and died. So much was the love of God for his creation that God died for it. He was separated from God in death. And yet, we have the faith because God raised him from the dead. and gives to us eternal life through that. Through the faith that God hears our prayers, through the faith that God answers them, maybe with a yes, maybe with a no, or maybe with a sometime soon, or in my own time, or in my own way. And there is this faith that He has given to us, the faith that our God is close at hand, the faith to look at the stories of what Christ has done and say that, yes, those stories are mine as well. And it's something that is unpronounceable. It's something that cannot be explained logically, but it's ours. And that faith that God loves us so much that He would send His one and only Son, that He would bring healing in His wings, so that that same joy that the people felt in Mark's gospel when Jesus was healing their sick, when He was driving out their demons, is our same joy. For we share in that healing by the power of His resurrection, by the power of His body and blood in communion. This is ours as well. Because yes, it is a hard thing to do. It will be much easier to curse God and die. But we have a God who loves us so much that He doesn't want that. He wants to reach out to all people. We heard in Paul's letter today to the Corinthians that He was all things to all people. That He would go and He would be with the people in their misery. He would be with the people sharing in their tribulations, because He has such a great faith in His Lord, that the blessings of life that were promised and given to God and to His Son Jesus were His as well. And He wanted to share those blessings with others so that even some might believe in the healing power of Christ, who binds up the wounded and brokenhearted, who casts out darkness and instead gives light. It's hard to do. Our prayers can be answered sometimes, and we might not like the answers. And sometimes we'll love the answers. My son actually, just this past 2 weeks ago, was named asymptomatic for his heart condition, having absolutely no complications of it. Yes, having the condition for the rest of his life. But for now, it seems that he is okay. But even then, He has touched the lives of many in our own life. And God has blessed us in a way and healed us in a way that only can never be imagined. For He reconciled us to Himself. He made us His children. Gave us life and salvation. It's hard today to remember that sometimes. To remember that healing is in His wings. But praise God that our God is someone who does not forget, who keeps coming to us again and again through simple means, through His fellow children on earth as they do the work of His kingdom, as they people call and say, "How are you?" As they make blankets that will be used to warm the bodies of small little children, as they go and they just simply pray. God is at work. And has given us an amazing faith that knows no bounds, that trusts in His promises, that trusts in the ultimate promise, that one day God will come again, and that when He comes down, this earth will be made new. There will be no more tears, no more sickness, no more heartache, no more disease, no more isolation. That He will come with healing in His wings, and mend up this broken creation, that all might live with Him who trust and believe in Him, and that we might have eternal life. Until then, we have that faith that knows no bounds, that trusts in God alone. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us wait in faith. Let us do the work of God's kingdom, and pray, "Come soon, Lord Jesus." Amen.